Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, well, how's it going? How's it going to everybody out there?
I'm doing good, man. Hopefully, ladies, all of you ladies and gentlemen are doing well as well. So, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Glad to be on here, as usual, every Saturday nights.
That's right. Thank you again. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking the time and checking out this show, Sports Urban Legend, again with Macaulay Matthew and me, William Ramo. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about, you know, what we do here on sports. You know, we talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. You guys all know the deal. Today's show, we're going to be talking about, spring training, the Twitter beef between Noah Syndergaard and new Dodger Trevor Bauer. Going to get into that. The Mets recent signing Taijuan Walker. We'll talk about the Yankees as well. And Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, he's getting paid. And we're gonna talk about that as well. NBA with the Knicks. The Knicks are going to be facing the Timberwolves after today's game got postponed because the team they were going to face, I think some of them had COVID or they were in contact with people with COVID, so they had to stop them from playing. So we'll get into that as well. We'll talk WWE. You know, with the Elimination Chamber coming out later tomorrow night. So, yeah. But most importantly, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So if you want to talk about any of these topics and more, you know, we'd love to hear what you got to say. So with that, we invite you to come on and share your thoughts, share your knowledge. But with that said, let's just dive into baseball. And the Mets, other than the Lindor moves, they did a lot of good moves. They got James McCann who will shore up the defense on the catching side. And you know, he's improved offensively as well. They got Pilar, who's a good hitter. He was a great defender at one point, but Mets would need him to turn back the clock. Mets also even have earlier this offseason they got Jonathan Villar. So if they could get Kevin Millar out of retirement, they would have had Kevin Millar, Kevin Villar, and Kevin Pillar. And you put that all together, that's MVP. That's, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, you know, anybody who rhymes with LR is on the Mets right now. So, we'll see what happened with that. Who else did they get? Trevor May, who spoke with the media today. He's fired up and ready to go. He said that, he's the type of, bullpen guy who's ready to come out any inning, fifth inning to all the way to ninth. He's that type of guy that says, give me the ball, and, that's the type of guy you want, especially, with the Mets and Yankees. We love guys like that, bulldog dudes who they just, they don't shy away from the pressure of New York. They want to dive right in, so. Hey, man, the guy hasn't thrown a pitch, but, he's already a fan favorite. I could just see it.
appreciate it. Yeah, definitely respect that.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's on social media as well. I think he, you know, he's into like gaming online, stuff like that. So him, you know, but there's a lot of players nowadays who are like into that, you know, online presence. You know, Syndergaard, you know, he loves being on social media, and then of course Trevor Bauer, you know, the this is what I'm looking for, the troller season, and the two worlds collide, and they got into a Twitter beef, and they were going back and forth. Basically, it all started because Noah Syndergaard was saying what was he posted a photo of himself and some of his teammates. They were just laughing inside the They were laughing you know, during spring training. Syndergaard wrote. And then he said, "I'm sorry I chose another team. But I'll donate to your charities," which of course he's referencing to, you know, what Bauer did on February 5th when he took his talents to LA, to Hollywood. Bauer officially went to, you know, Hollywood. So he posted a photo of himself, probably was Gesselman, I think, in the photo. Yeah, it was Gesselman. And you see them laughing in the photo. And, you know, Bauer didn't appreciate it. Bauer was got offended.
Yeah,
you know, he was saying
he doesn't like being trolled himself.
Exactly. He says, "When mistakes are made, you try to make them right. I know you wouldn't know anything about making mistakes, though. Hope rehabbing is treating you well. It was good to see you back throwing." Then Bauer said that also Noah Syndergaard, "Try to treat your fans better. They are what make our game go. No place for personal insults, especially about someone's wife," because apparently somebody online was criticizing. And let me see where it is right here. Yeah, apparently a fan was saying DeGrom is winning Cy Young's. "You're trying to be a superhero? You probably blocked me because you're soft." and then he said, "What's your problem, dude? Be happy." And then afterwards, some other guy was criticizing DeGrom, and he said, you know, that's when, you know, the Syndergaard said something about, about the guy's wife, if the guy's even married. And then that's when Bauer said the whole, statement about trying not to insult fans. And then Syndergaard replied in with a gif of saying, "Keep digging." And then Bauer said, "See you at the bottom." And apparently Bauer, unfortunately, you know, he had an issue with some lady online, you know, years ago, which some people were criticizing the Mets, you know, that they shouldn't go after him, you know, because of that, especially in light of the whole Jared Porter situation. And then now, last week, another person was fired by the Mets for, you know, similar despicable, actions behind the scenes as well. So then after that, then Syndergaard was saying, "Bring a drone and your mixtape, and it's a deal." And then afterwards, to my knowledge, Strowman was, you know, paraphrasing, saying, like, it's a joke and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, Bauer said, "You got yourself a date." And then Strowman was saying, like, you know, it's a joke, you know, it's a joke, or, you know, something about Twitter, you know, it's a joke or something like that. So before we even face each other in Citi Field in August, sparks are already flying on on Twitterverse.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good matchup when these teams finally meet later in the year.
Hopefully this will be a preview of the NLCS. And
could
hopefully
be.
Hopefully it will go down how all the postseason have went down against the Dodgers, except for 88.
Yeah.
You know, because Mets dominated that the regular season. David Cone, you know, he talks smack about the Dodgers, and then, you know, the Dodgers would upset them and advance to the World Series and defeat the Oakland A's, you know, highlighted by the Kirk Gibson walk-off home run off Eckersley in game one of that World Series, which Alderson was the GM of the A's at that time. And then, of course, they won the World Series the following year in 89. But, yeah, but back to modern times, the Mets, Sandy Alderson and Zach Scott, the new GM, they finally made a move. And, you know, and they finally got a starter in Taijuan Walker, you know, and I think it's a real good move. Taijuan Walker, you know, he's a veteran. He's pitched in the baseball for like 8 years. I think he was with the Mariners, the Diamondbacks. And I think he was with Toronto also most recently. But, yeah, the good thing about him is, you know, he's 28. You know, he's had like 8 years in the big leagues. I think they signed a two-year $20 million contract, and I think they have an option for the third year. So, and you know, this guy, he's in his prime year. He's like 2 or 3 years removed from Tommy John surgery. And, you know, once you pass that second or third year of Tommy John surgery, you're like back to your old form or even better. So,
yeah,
Mets are really counting on that. And he's a strikeout dude. So, I think it's going to be great. And he posted on social media a photo of him taking a sip of the late, great Tom Seaver's champagne, the GTS champagne or wine bottle, I think it was. No, actually wine, I think it is. So, yeah, congratulations, Taijuan Walker, coming to the Mets. And we got a pretty solid rotation. You got DeGrom, who was voted third by MLB Network as the third best player in the game after, I think it was Trout and probably Tatis. I think it was those two that was ahead of him. My memory served me right. And, you know, DeGrom, he's still ranked the best pitcher in the game, you know. Your boy, Garrett Cole, he was ranked number 11, probably the second highest pitcher ranked on the list. And, Mets got DeGrom. Mets got Stroman, who, you know, he's been bragging about, like, this is going to be his best year ever. You know, he's been following and observing DeGrom, picking DeGrom's head, you know, so he could finally live up to his, you know, he could exceed his potential. You got Stroman, you got Carlos Carrasco, you know, who's been a very good pitcher throughout his career in Cleveland, and, you know, a very underrated pitcher. Then, of course, you have Syndergaard coming back in the second half, you know, probably in June or July after the All-Star break. You got Peterson, who's a, you know, a young pitcher, you know, who should have the start. And he's going to be competing with Joey Lucchesi, Jordan Yamamoto, and some other people. So Mets, you know, they got some depth. You know, so we'll see what happens. And, you know, Taijuan Walker, he's going to, if healthy, because that's his kryptonite, staying healthy. So as we've always said about the Mets, especially on this show, since 2009, if he stays healthy, you know, he should have a good year. So you know, Mets are hoping that that will be the case. What was your thoughts on that signing?
Yeah, I think the Mets right now, they have a good rotation. You know, you got Stroman, you got Syndergaard when he's healthy, you got DeGrom. You know, you guys can make some waves in that NL East over there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you could have gotten Bauer, you know, that would have helped tremendously. But Mets still got a good rotation, even without him.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Getting Tyler Walker, I think, erases, you know, the deficit of not signing, you know, signing Bauer. Because, I mean, you don't want a guy to sign with your team just because he's settling, because he couldn't get, you know, get the location or the teams he wanted, you know. So, hey, you know, it looks like it could be a blessing in disguise, because if his heart isn't into it and he's not professional enough to just go about pitching, you know,
yeah,
you know, it'd be a disaster. But, you know,
yeah, exactly.
We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I really love the Mets rotation. You know, they just gotta stay healthy and you know, and resign these guys. They gotta resign Conforto, Lindor. Those are the 1-1A guys that they have to sign hands down. You gotta resign those guys. And then you gotta you know, try to resign Stroman and Syndergaard. But Lindor and Conforto are the two guys they have to sign hands down, and keep an eye on the Grom situation. You know, he said he wants to retire a Met, so you know, if there is, you know, hopefully he's satisfied with the contract. It looks like he is, but you never know. He's a couple of years away from the potentially opting out, you know, try to get a better deal. You know, hopefully Mets can sweeten the deal a little bit and give him a little pay raise, you know, extend the contract a little bit somewhere down the line. So that's something definitely food for thought. One thing I stumbled upon before this show was this video. And basically this video was about basically – you know, what would have happened if Jackie Robinson did not break the color barrier in April 15th, 1947. So, yeah, here's this quick video from, you know, courtesy of the Mets. So we'll be right back. This is Sports Urban Legend with your host, Wayne Ramo and Macaulay Matthew. We'll be right back.
Never happened. Would there be game saving me? The legend of Dr. K. Comeback with the ages. Game 7 growers. And walk offs. Would there be a chance to be the all out of the field to play in front of your hometown? To make a triumphant return. What if Jackie never broke the color barrier? Would the amazing have happened?
When you need pain, and it's not, I'll take blame and push you over your pain.
In April of 1947, Jackie Robinson did break baseball's color barrier and paved the way for these amazing moments. Celebrate Black History Month.
And we are back. Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I'm your host, William Ramon, along with Macaulay Matthew on the other side. And Yeah, let's shift gears to the Yankees. What's your thoughts? Your excitement on the Yankees this spring training and this upcoming season?
Yeah, you know, on paper we're looking real good. You know, we've improved our rotation. You know, offense, as long as we stay healthy, you know, we have one of the best offenses in baseball. I just want to see how some of these guys in the on the pitching staff will fare. You know, I want to see if what's his face? I'm forgetting his name now. Who's in the Indians?
Is he a pitcher?
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, Corey Kluber.
Kluber, yeah. I want to see if Kluber can reclaim, you know,
his dominance.
That dominance that he had several years ago, you know. See if he can become an ace again. You know, if he can become an ace again, like he was on the Indians, then the Yankees could be unstoppable. Him and Cole, you know, at the front of that rotation, I mean – just hoping, you know, that can happen. But I think, you know, Yankees are going to have a big year. And, you know, it's going to be a good season as long as everyone stays healthy. And that's the big if. You know, because the last several years, you know, a lot of these guys haven't been able to stay healthy. And we've been knocked out earlier than we wanted to be knocked out. So, we'll see. You know, we'll see what 2021 has in store.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, the Yankees rotation, you know, they have some potential, of course. I do love the Kluber signing as well. I think if he could stay healthy and turn back the clock, Yankees got something there.
Yeah.
And then you know, they also I'm trying to remember who else they also signed.
Talon.
Yeah, Talon. Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's another guy who's great with the Pirates.
Yeah.
You know, a change of scenery. You know, if he could stay healthy, you know, that's.
He pitched alongside Cole as well when they were on Pittsburgh.
Right. Exactly. So that would be a great. Rotation if they could, you know, stay healthy. And
yeah.
Herman
is coming back now after that suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and remember, you know, a couple years ago he looked like he could be our future ace.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this guy can come back and pitch like he did, you know, in 2019, you know, then the Yankees have something going. Also, I hear Severino has been throwing, so he might be back earlier than expected. So. You know, there's some potential on this pitching staff, you know, has the potential to be very good this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Herman definitely got to get his mind right after, you know, the horrible thing he did to get himself suspended, you know, the domestic abuse. Hopefully he learned his lesson. You know,
well, you know, these Hispanic players, they can't resist hitting their wives and partners.
Nah, I mean, don't have to, you know, it's a, you know.
Not all Hispanics, but, you know, some.
You know, it's that
Latino machismo.
Even, you know, that even happened to, you know, to Tori. Growing up, his father did the same thing too. So
yeah.
Hopefully, you know,
you Hispanic dudes got to chill out, man.
Hopefully, he'll get his stuff right. You know.
Yeah,
but,
definitely. But seriously, yeah, definitely. I hope for the best for him because. You know, the guy's young, and he has a lot of potential. And he saw it in 2019, so hopefully, you know, this year he can come back. And, you know, if he can be as good as 2019, then, you know, like I said, this pitching staff can be very, very good.
Absolutely. What's your thoughts on Gardner coming back?
You know, I love Gardner, but I think, you know, it was time for him to give – Clint Frazier a chance. You know, give Frazier a chance. I mean, the guy has potential. He'd be one of the best hitters in baseball if he's just given a chance. And I feel like, you know, Gardner coming back is going to take some of that opportunity away.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Gardner, but I think it's just time for him to hang it up, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like he was saying last year, he wanted to come back this year. Which I assume is his swan song, you know, of his career. not only with the Yankees, but as for his career, because he didn't want to retire in a COVID season. He wanted to have the fans, you know, cheer for him on his way out. He didn't want to get cheated out of it. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah, best of luck to him. You know, trying to end his career on a high note. But oh yes, Fernando Tatis Jr., man. Congratulations to him. You know, you would have thought in the pandemic people wouldn't be giving out, you know, people wouldn't be giving out, you know, so much money anymore, because all these teams are supposedly losing money, you know, due to you know, COVID. So yeah, you would have thought it would have been a long time before all these players got huge money. But, you know, of course, Trevor Bauer and Fernando Tatis Jr. Is showing that, you know, there are still people that's going to, you know, spend money to get the players that they want. And, yeah, let me see. I think it's a 14-year. Yeah, it's the third richest contract in MLB history. It's a 14-year, $340 million contract. Only Mike Trout and Mookie Betts has the most money overall. What else I was gonna say? This contract is the first money. This is the first contract. This is the biggest contract that was signed for a player that was not eligible for salary arbitration. Like the Padres, they really was trying to give him that money. They were not letting him. They were not taking any chances with him, you know, leaving them in free agency several years down the line. He is a Padre for life. So congratulations to him, his family, and, of course, the Padres fans.
Man, I want some of that money.
For real.
That's a lot of money, a lot of years. Oh, yeah. But a good one. You know, they signed, like, the best shortstop in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he definitely has the potential to be one of the great shortstops. But to me, I think it's a little, you know, it's too big of a contract. You don't know, you know, what this guy is going to give you,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the next several years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like an A-Rod contract, I think.
Yeah, it's like A-Rod and Giancarlo Stanton contract. And, you know, and once those guys, you know, have horrible seasons, you know, and losing teams, you know where they end up getting traded to. So keep your eyes posted.
Well, I mean, for the Padres, supposedly, you know, they have a good team because it's upcoming year.
Oh, yeah, of course. They
are making it out to be championship contenders, you know.
Yeah, they got a stacked team. They're definitely, arguably, many people would consider the most active team in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, it's them, the Blue Jays, and, you know, of course, you know, the New York Mets. You know, those are the teams that are, like, really making moves to change the culture of their respective franchises.
Yeah.
And Padres, you know, they're going to try to win their first ever championship. The last time they've been, I think, over there was, I think you're pretty familiar with that, in 98.
Yep.
So, you know, they want to try to win it all. But we'll see what happens. And then, of course, Toronto Blue Jays, you know, ever since Joe Carter hit that walk-off home run against the Phillies in 93, you know, they haven't won it. You know, they haven't won another title. And then, of course, you know, my beloved New York Mets, you know, they haven't won since 86, so a lot of these teams are trying to, you know, end their long drought, or in the Padres' case, finally try to win it all. And moving on, a team that we both love that's trying to snap their long championship drought is, of course, the New York Knicks. And the New York Knicks, they've been playing a lot better lately. And they were supposed to play earlier today, but that game got postponed due to COVID concerns. So I believe they're playing tomorrow night, or tomorrow, I should say, against the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're not playing baseball. They're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, we'll call Anthony Towns and Tom Thibodeau. He's going to be facing his former team that he was on. He was coaching just before he got fired a few years ago. And that's going to be, you know, trip down memory lane for him and, you know, Derrick Rose.
It's going to be something for him to go back, play against his former team, him and Rose. Yeah, that's going to be a it's going to be a nice reunion right there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then, yeah, that's going to be a big game, you know. I think Timberwolves are not doing well. I think that they even have the worst record in all of the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. I think they only have 7 wins.
Yeah, they're at the bottom.
So, yeah, they should get this win. And then Tuesday night they're going to host the Warriors. So yeah, Knicks, you know, they're trying to get closer to 500. They lost the game not too long ago. Might have been their last game too. Where you know they were
Miami? No, was it?
Yeah, was it Miami? Can't remember. Could have been. I know they faced them recently. But yeah, they were this close to getting 500. I think they would have been 15-15, but now they're 14-16 now.
Okay.
But yeah, the Knicks have been playing a lot better. But you know, they gotta be consistently more defense. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've been playing great defense most of this year. But they've had some of these losses. They've had these. They've reverted back to the post 2001 Knicks. You know, these current Knicks. You know, hopefully, you know, they'll bounce back. And then having Mitchell Robinson hurt, that didn't help anything.
Yeah. I hear the DeMarcus Cousins. He might be parting ways with the Rockets. I think is the team that he's on right now. So maybe Knicks can go after DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah,
either they're interested in Drummond too. Guy they faced this year.
I heard that if we were to trade Drummond, we'd probably have to give up Knox, which I don't want to do.
Yeah, because it looks like. Knicks really want to trade Knox and of course Nilakina.
I'll drive him over there, but Knox. I don't want him to leave, man.
Yeah, me either.
This guy has a lot of potential here.
I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. I wouldn't give up on Knox. I think Knox has a lot of potential. He could bounce back.
Yeah.
So, Knicks, you know, they're going to try to win tomorrow night. And, you know, again, they were going to be facing the Spurs, but the 16-11 Spurs at MSG. But of course, like we mentioned, that game got postponed because of the COVID situation. And, man, you know, Mitchell Robinson injuring his hand, having the surgery, you know, we'll find out how he does after the All-Star break.
Yep. See how long, you know, it's supposed to be said it'd be 4 to 6 weeks. So
yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, you know, we see him maybe as early as April.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for real. So, you know, hopefully he's healthy. And oh yeah, congratulations to Randall. He scored like 44 points a few days ago, which is one shot of his career high.
Randall is an all-star, man.
He should be. He should be written in. He should be written into the. He should be added into the All-Star as a bench player.
I just think if, you know, we would have just let this guy go after last season. I mean, you know, I told you Knicks fans out there, be patient, you know, be patient. This guy has potential, you know, and he's showing it right now.
He's
been scoring in the paint. He, you know, he's been passing the ball. You know, he's been doing everything that we've he's even cut down on the turnovers. His defense has improved a little. You know, he's definitely an all-star this year.
Yeah, hands down. He definitely has been, for sure. Props to him. You know, he's committed to being a better player and buying into the Thibodeau system, you know, and all the coaches that we have, you know. So
yeah, he's in a much better system, you know, this season than last season.
Yep. Yeah, you could even say this system is a system because the stuff that the Knicks have been playing since 2013 when one of our assistant coaches, Mike Woodson, was the head coach of the team in 2013.
Yeah.
Ever since then, they've been horrible. So
yep.
Good to see the Knicks. You know, they're you know, they're scary on defense, you know. They used to be scaring the fans, you know, with their defense. They're Swiss cheese defense, you know, as Clyde Frazier would say, you know. But, you know, they're actually intimidating, you know, the opposition. We're not an easy victory, as usual. So hopefully we will snap this one game losing streak, you know, tomorrow. So we'll see what happens because, they lost to the Magic, 107-89, and Barrett didn't even really play that game. He got benched most of the fourth quarter when the Knicks was trying to make the comeback.
Yeah, that was a tough game, brutal game. But the Knicks can bounce back tomorrow here against the Twins. I mean, the T-Wolves.
T-Wolves think about the Twins. Yep.
You got me thinking it.
Well, yep. Hopefully, Randall will be close to his 44-point performance that he had Monday night against the Atlanta Hawks. But I'm pretty sure, you know, he won't get 40-something points this time around. But
you never know.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to get like 30, 35, you know. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, man. You know, props to him. Yeah, he only scored 25 points in the loss, along with 7 rebounds. You know, and that was Wednesday night game against you know, the Magic inside. You know, at Orlando. So hopefully the Magic will be back for the Knicks tomorrow night. You know, when they host the Timberwolves at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. But
and you hear now that they're going to start letting fans in this upcoming weekend to MSG for some games.
Yep.
Because, you know, New York City has a – they're doing the 25%. Is it 25% right now?
Yeah. I think so. I think it's 25 or it's going to be 25, something like
indoor
that.
Indoor dining and activity, so – So, some fans will be able to go to MSG, watch some of the games.
Yeah, if you got the money, because they're jacking up the prices since not everybody can go.
I don't even think it's cheap right now. I think tickets are pretty – I think you get some cheap tickets right now.
I sure hope so. With the Nets – you know, the Nets, you know, they're hot on their five-game winning streak. They're gonna open up their Barclays Center, you know, their stadium, Barclays Center, also this week as well. And I think they're only gonna open up to like 300 fans can enter, but they're gonna give them the VIP treatment. They're gonna jack up the price, and they're gonna be sitting on like lounge chairs and all that stuff. Like, it's gonna be like you're gonna have like the VIP treatment, but you're gonna be paid the VIP prices.
Wow.
And not to mention, they're the first stadium, you know, in New York that's going to offer COVID, you know, I think the vaccine on site. So, and it'll be included. I think the food will be free and stuff like that from what I read. So
that's going to be nice.
Yeah. Especially for the Nets fans. Nets fans are going to be rewarded for their faithfulness. You know, watching the Nets in New Jersey, and then coming over here, and yeah, now they're going to try to win their first title.
It's good, very nice
since the ABA days. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But what was I going to say? Yeah, the Nets, they're going to be on the road against the Clippers, so they're going to try to keep that streak going. I think Durant is still out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's out with a hamstring injury, I think.
Yeah, he has a strained hamstring. He's missed 4 games straight, or he's going to miss his fourth straight game. Because of this hamstring. And yeah, man, you gotta take it slow. You gotta take it slow with him, because he has been overachieving with his you know, coming missing that whole year. So, you know, props to him.
Props.
Yeah, for real. And shifting gears, congratulations to Naomi Osaka. You know, she won she won the tournament. She defeated American Jennifer Brady. And this is she's on a 20 match winning streak, I should say. Yeah, she's been dominating.
Deservedly so, you know, she's the best female tennis player right now.
Yeah. And as a result, she won her second Australian Open title. She became one of the three players in the Open era to win her first 4 Grand Slam finals, along with Roger Federer and Monica Seles. So congratulations to her. And she even defeated her idol, Serena Williams, again in the semifinals. And after the loss, they were asking Serena if she's going to retire. And, you know, she was tearful, and she left the interview. So, yeah, well, if it is the end for Serena, I mean, that's the GOAT right there. So,
yeah, definitely, she's a future Hall of Famer. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think might be time for her to hang it up. I mean, there's nothing else for her to prove.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't nothing for her to prove. I think she really wants to win that title, because I think she's had like 3 or 4 chances to win it. And, you know,
she's never won it before.
No, she hasn't won it since her pregnancy.
Oh, okay. Let's say.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course. She has like what, 23, 24 Grand Slam, championships.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
yeah,
like, since her pregnancy, she hasn't, you know, she hasn't, won a title. And I'm assuming she probably wants to win, you know, to prove that she still has it, and for her child Olympia to see it,
yeah,
see her mom, you know, win a title. I think that's her motivation of trying to you know, win it all. So, yeah, you know, props to Serena, you know, and of course, Jennifer Brady for going to the finals, though it was in a, you know, a losing effort, but, you know, Osaka, man, she's been dominant, you know, these past couple of years. So, I mean, for her young career, I should say. So, yeah, props to her.
Props.
And shifting gears to WWE, the Elimination Chamber is going to come up tomorrow night. You pump?
Yeah, that should be good.
Mm-hmm.
Should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Like, other than the prior to the Royal Rumble, these past couple of pay-per-view events haven't really been enticing me. But, yeah, now they're, like JR says, you know, business is picking up. So,
yeah,
now the road to WrestleMania, now they're not playing anymore with these pay-per-view events now. I still don't think – I think Fastlane is coming up next month. But for me, I think that's a useless pay-per-view event, you know, just – the Elimination Chamber, just go straight to WrestleMania. Hype up this, because when they put all these pay-per-view events too many like back to back like this, so close to each other, it's like they're trying to hype up two pay-per-view events at the same time, and it's just not working, you know. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view event.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, so right now they're saying Asuka's gonna fight Lacey Evans, but if you remember on Raw, she made a big announcement that she's pregnant. So if I'm a betting man, she's not gonna fight tomorrow night, you know. So, congratulations to Lacey Evans on being a mother. But who is Asuka gonna fight now? I don't know. Maybe Charlotte. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they've been I'm trying to think. Who have they been feuding with? Maybe Naomi. No, not Naomi. What's her name? Nia Jax or Shayna Baszler or something. I'm
trying
to wonder.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It could be.
Yeah.
But then, that would be it. Charlotte and Asuka against Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
I guess so. But then again, they're doing double duty as well. I mean, yeah, I don't know who Asuka's going to be defending her title with. I guess Asuka will retain it in whoever she's facing.
Yeah.
And then Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they'll be the defending the title against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Even though Nia Jax, they've been making Nia Jax a laughing stock with her keep injuring herself and yelling "my hole" and stuff like that. I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler is gonna win because Sasha Banks is gonna officially turn heel, like Paul Heyman has been advising her to do, because he is saying like she's not her, you know, Sasha Banks as a baby face, she's not gonna get the job done because her and Bianca Belair are pretty even up. Which, I mean, that is very true. You know, they're very similar. They'd be, I mean, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, I mean, they could have like to be honest with you, it just popped in my head just a few seconds ago. Like, they really mesh well with each other. They could be great tag team partners, and they could be great rivals. So I'm going to say something I don't think I've probably said probably since Trish and Lita. If done well, they could be the next Rock and Austin versus Austin, you know, female wise. If WWE used them right.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
Yeah, I think I'm not sold on Sasha turning heel. Yeah, I'm not sold on it. I think she's gonna remain a face for a while. I could see Bianca, on the other hand, turning heel.
Mm.
I see that happening. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see that.
That's a good point. I think it's too early, but then again, that would give you the shock factor.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That, you know, that is a good point.
That'd be interesting, you know, and maybe even Heyman managing Bianca. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good point, because he's had his eyes on her for a while, ever since he was the Raw executive GM. So,
yeah.
You got something. You got something to it. I think you're cooking with something. You got a good idea right there.
Yeah, you never know.
That's a good idea. I think you're convincing me that might happen. You heard it here, folks. If she does turn, Mac gets the credit.
Yeah, I said it for you first.
So, yeah, but we both agree Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will win, retain it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll retain it.
Yep. Well, let me see. You got Bobby Lashley, you know he's gonna try to retain the WWE United States Championship against Keith Lee and Riddle.
Yeah, I think Lashley is gonna retain it.
I am on the fence.
You're going with Keith Lee?
No, I don't think Keith Lee will win it. Question is, I mean, Keith Lee and Lashley should have been in the Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. But I wouldn't be surprised if Riddle shocks him. Because to me, Riddle doesn't belong in this match. This match should have been Lee versus Lashley.
Yeah.
Lashley's defeated him so many different times. They even had a match a few weeks ago, like it was like Keith Lee versus Riddle, and the way how they were making it sound like that was for the number one contendership for the title. Riddle lost and he still's in the title. I'm like, wait, wasn't this match supposed to be for the number one contendership? Like this, to me, Riddle doesn't fit. And for Riddle not fitting, I just have this feeling WWE's going to try to do an upset and make Riddle win. Lashley. Could happen. I think that's what's going to happen. Like I said, I don't think Riddle should have been in this match. It should have been Lashley versus Lee, but WWE is going to do it, man. I just think they're going to put the title on Riddle and not wait until WrestleMania for this to happen. All right, let's see what else. You got Drew McIntyre trying to defend his title against the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, the legendary Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Kofi Kingston, who got inserted into the match after The Miz and WWE management realized that The Miz had two championship opportunities back-to-back. To me, it never made sense to begin with. Miz dropped out, which Miz is saying, like, you know, he's a master strategist. He's on another level than they are. But that's literally what Edge told him last week. Edge was telling Miz yep. that he's on another level than he is and that he wouldn't get it. And WWE management literally used the same line that Edge used on The Miz on everybody else.
Right.
And to me, this shows that Miz is an idiot. Yes, you could look at it and be like, wow, okay, The Miz doesn't have to fight in a grueling match like Elimination Chamber, but the smartest thing for him to do would have been to compete in the Elimination Chamber match. Had he lost, he would have still had the opportunity to cash it in anytime he wanted.
Yeah.
Now he's just putting his egg back into that one basket or briefcase like he's been doing for these past couple of months. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Miz, he's a very good wrestler, but I don't know what WWE's obsession with him is.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with these money in the banks. I mean, how many money in the banks has he had now?
This is the second one that I could think of.
It feels like this is the 100th one he's had for some reason. I don't know.
Well, he always has them. He did cash it in, but they said it was Morrison that cashed it in, so it didn't count. So it was like he got rewarded again, but I guess this would be the second or third time, I guess. If you want to count that, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, Miz, I mean, other than, you know, like around the time when he was feuded with Jerry King Lawler, other than the Miz, you know, he's not a real championship caliber threat. He's too goofy. You know what I mean? He's too goofy. Like it should have been Morrison that would have had the opportunity. But Morrison is more of a slapstick sidekick, you know, to him. You know, and that's not like a hashtag. Slapstick sidekick.
Yeah, they need to like separate those two again and have Morrison go his own way. I want to see Morrison do his own thing, you know.
Yeah, or let Miz be in the back seat. Give Morrison the shot, like.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're too comical. It's getting too much. Morrison should have had the opportunity to win the Money in the Bank. That's what I've been saying for months. Instead of the Miz. Miz, it's been there, done that.
Yeah, I want to see I want to see that Morrison, man.
Well, you get a little sample of the song, you know. When he comes out, he looks like when they do their old poses and when they're walking, he does like this, like, I don't know, like he looks like he's pushing like some imaginary thing. I think, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what the heck that's all about, but Morrison should have been the Money in the Bank winner. It would have been more interesting. The Miz doing it is just having it again. It's just been there, done that, and he's not believable. Even if he does cash it in, which there's no way he's gonna be Drew McIntyre or Roman Reigns, like. It's just a waste of money in the bank. I mean, they took the thing out of Otis, which Otis, I mean, I liked Otis, I like Otis as a wrestler, but you know, it didn't seem right for him to win it either because he's more of a comical wrestler until he turned heel on Friday Night SmackDown. This Money in the Bank is a waste of this Money in the Bank. Winners have been a waste of time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
But with that said, I think Drew McIntyre will retain the Elimination Chamber, the title at Elimination Chamber, and I'm assuming you'd agree with me.
Say that again.
I predict Drew McIntyre to retain the WWE Championship at inside Elimination Chamber.
You go McIntyre. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go with McIntyre as well.
Mm-hmm. The only person I could see upsetting him would be Sheamus.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a very good match. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I see some way, some shape and form, McIntyre is going to win and retain it.
And Kofi Kingston is going to be the first one eliminated. Watch. I'm calling it. Watch. And then there's going to be WWE fans that's going to be PO'd because Black History Month, you know, they got the only black guy in this match, which, you know, they just insert into the match on Monday. He got eliminated. You know, not to mention he lost to Brock Lesnar in 9 seconds last year or so.
Oh, yeah.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? Probably two years ago. Because last year was the pandemic with Drew McIntyre.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that. Then you go over to the whatchamacallit, the Elimination Chamber in the WWE Universal Championship one. Now this one to me is very interesting because you got Kevin Owens, King Corbin, who I find boring, Sami Zayn, Cesaro. Well, see, you kind of got rid of Corbin and put Big E in this match. You got Jey Uso, Daniel Bryan, and a guy who I'm rooting for, Cesaro. And you know what? I'm gonna pick Cesaro to win. You know, I'm gonna pick Cesaro to win the match, and then he's gonna face off against Roman Reigns. You know, for the WWE Universal Championship. And unfortunately, that's when Cesaro's Cinderella story will end, and Roman Reigns will retain the title there, the Elimination Chamber. What's your thoughts?
I think that's what's gonna happen, but I think Roman Reigns will retain the title against Cesaro.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, I thought you said Cesaro would win.
No. I want Cesaro to win, but there's no way Cesaro's gonna win.
Oh, Roman. Okay, then we agree. Then Roman Reigns,
yeah.
Okay.
I want Cesaro to win it, but he ain't gonna win it. He's not gonna defeat Roman Reigns. In the elimination, the only way he would have had a chance is if Roman Reigns was inside the Elimination Chamber match itself.
Okay.
Other than that, no, I don't. Nah, the advantage is Roman Reigns. So, yeah, Roman Reigns will retain the title. I'm trying to see. And NXT. Adam Cole, he turned heel and attacked his fellow Undisputed Era teammate, Kyle O'Reilly. He super kicked him out of nowhere. I think he also super kicked Finn Balor also. But now he's gonna feud with Adam Cole, you know, they're fellow United Undisputed Era. I'm trying to think what else happened. Austin Theory, he got kidnapped, but he was rescued. He was discovered by Johnny Gargano on which was the show? NXT. Let me see what else happened. Oh, yes. Let me think. The NXT TakeOver happened on Valentine's Day. I hope you all had a great Valentine's Day last Sunday. Here's what happened at the pay-per-view event on Sunday, this past Sunday. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez defeated Amber Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, as I predicted, to be the first ever women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic champions. They will get a future WWE they'll get a WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against the current champions as we speak right now, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Johnny Gargano defeated Kushida to retain the North American Championship. MSK, that's Nash Carter and Wes Lee, defeated the Grizzled Young Veterans, which has James Drake and Zach Gibson. And they will get a future NXT Tag Team Championship match. And, what else was I going to say? Io Shirai, she defeated Mercedes Martinez and Toni Storm to retain the NXT Women's Championship. And last but not least, Finn Balor defeated Pete Dunne to retain the NXT Championship. AEW, trying to think what happened. Sammy Guevara, he wasn't there because last week he quit AEW and the Inner Circle. And Jericho revealed that because he quit on the Inner Circle, he also quit on him. So now Sammy Guevara is dead to Chris Jericho. Trying to think of anything else that is noteworthy to happen on AEW. Sting got attacked by Brian Cage. After Team Taz kidnapped Darby Allin and beat him up. So yeah, Sting got powerbombed by Brian Cage. You know, and you know, I was just hoping he didn't get injured again, like when he was fighting Seth Rollins about 6 years ago. So yeah, they got to be careful with him. Let's see what else happened. Congratulations to Cody Rhodes and Brandy. They had the gender reveal on Wednesday night, and they're having a girl. So congratulations. And you know, Cody Rhodes is and Red Velvet. They're going to be facing Shaq and Jade Cargill in the upcoming pay-per-view event, or I think it's an upcoming NXT, and not NXT, AEW Dynamite episode, I think, next month. So yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to. That's about it I could think of off the top of my head. But anything else you'd like to say, Mac?
Otis is bad. He's a heel now. I think going to be a major twist going forward in WWE. Maybe he presents a challenge to either McIntyre or even Roman Reigns. Who knows?
Well, it would have to be Roman Reigns because Drew McIntyre is, you know, he's on different shows. Unless somehow finds a loophole to go on the Raw.
Right, that's what I was thinking. If there's ever the next draft, or if there's ever a trade or something, then yeah, you can see that happen. But I think it's an interesting development, for Otis.
Absolutely.
A little change in his character might give him a bigger push now.
Yeah, I'm with it too. You know, I really loved Otis as a fan favorite, but a change of scenery or a change in gimmick and attitude, it could lead to something. So, they were kind of teasing it because you could see Chad Gable, he was, giving him advice, and you could see Chad Gable was kind of heelish a little bit, but now they're full-blown heels now. So, hopefully this will, this is – now they could have had him have the briefcase.
Yeah.
See, this would have been a reason for him to have a briefcase because, like I was saying months ago, you can't legitimately see him cashing on anybody because he's a good guy, know. It would have been against his gimmick. So now he's heel. Apollo Crews is heel as well, attacking Big E yet again and smashing him with the steel steps. So. Yeah, WWE business is picking up, man. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, everyone just take care and have a safe weekend. We'll see you next week. Only on Block Talk Radio.
I hear you, man. So, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramo. I'll see you guys next week. And don't forget, check out my YouTube channel, Sports of the Legend TV. Don't forget to come back next week. Same bat channel, same bat station. And that's Saturdays at 10, only on Blog Talk Radio. So, again, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.